time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
We're going to start with rosehip cell. There's a brand new kind of neuron that was discovered in the brain. And it's been more than a century since a Spanish neuroanatomist, Santiago Ramón y Cajal, won the Nobel Prize for illustrating the way neurons allow you to walk and talk and think and be. Well, in the past 100 years, modern neuroscience hasn't progressed that much in how it distinguishes one kind of neuron from another. Well, since the microscopes are better, anyway, the brain cells are still primarily defined as by two labor-intensive characteristics, how they look and how they fire. And so what happened is on Monday, an international team of researchers introduced the world to a new kind of neuron, which at this point is believed to exist only in the human brain, not in any. They haven't seen it in other animals. And the long fibers known as axons, these are densely bundled cells that bulge in a way that reminded the discoverers of a rose without its petals. So much so that they named them the rosehip cells. And they're described in the latest issue of Nature Neuroscience. And these new neurons might use their specialized shape to control the flow of information from one region of the brain to another. And they're learning that they may be able to use this. One is to help map the brain projects, what the brain, different sections of the brain deal with six different issues. And so they're thinking that they can actually use this new type of neuron and to be able to brain mapping projects. And so that's what they're doing. Neurons come in two basic flavors, those that get excited and send information to the cells next to them, and those that inhibit cells to slow down or stop being excited from firing. And the rosehip cells belong to this later type. And based on their physiology, they seem to be particularly potent and they can curb excitement in the brain. So it's really kind of interesting when the article on the my website shows some pictures and how they've highlighted those neurons using dyes that go into the brain. And it's quite interesting. I always love new stuff that's going on and how to actually study all of this. I just think it's just phenomenal that things like this, even today, they're discovering new things about the human brain. And to continue on that, there's five impossible things your brain can do. There was another great article, and it says how to tap into your inner genius and you don't even knew you didn't know you had. And you can new article describes how acquired savant syndrome, which is a rare condition that sometimes occurs after trauma to the left side of the brain. And there's also what's called savant autistic, and that's where kids might know mathematics or be able to tell you any day of the week on any year that you say. But there's a lot of things that the brain can do. One of them, and there's five of them, and they talk about, number one is astonishing memory feats. So let me give you an example. If you ask were to memorize a list of 10 words that have no relationship to each other, that are just a list of 10 words, normally most people repeat them in their mind over and over and over again until you've finally get it and you remember those 10 words. And they'll say those words over and over in their mind, and it can take sometimes hours and sometimes a lot less. But It can be very tiring feat, and after a few hours, you probably only remember two or three of those words taken from the beginning. So let me give you an example, and then tell you how to have a super memory by changing the way you relate to words. So imagine here are the 10 words, and for those of you listening, see how many are in your own brain, how many of these words you can remember. So the words are ladybug, comb, oatmeal, lawyer, coal, stamp, knife, worm, bell, and lettuce. Now, think of those words. They're totally unrelated. Now, you heard those words. How many of those words can you say? Again, ladybug, comb, oatmeal, lawyer, coal, stamp, knife, worm, bell, lettuce. So after 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour, how many of those words would you remember? Most people are attempting to remember auditorily, and they're thinking or hearing those words over and over. Well, when you can change and learn to remember those words visually. So I've had a great memory because when I was quite young, I didn't get glasses till I was 5 years old, and I had severe myopia. I was legally blind, and so I also have night blindness, so I can't see in the dark. And this will bring some of these things will come up, and you'll understand. But how I learned to remember is visually. So, as an example, those 10 words, you can take a ladybug as an example. Take that ladybug, and the ladybug is walking across a black comb. Everybody used to have those in their back pocket. And that comb is sitting in a bowl of oatmeal, on the top of the bowl of oatmeal. That bowl of oatmeal is sitting on a lawyer's desk. And on that lawyer's desk, next to the bowl of oatmeal, is a piece of coal. And on top of that piece of coal is a stamp. And that stamp, next to the piece of coal with the stamp on it, is a knife, and it's got a serrated edge. You make it visual. And then there's a worm crawling across that knife serrated edge, and it's crossing, going across a bell, attempting to get to the piece of lettuce. So you notice how you can remember that, again, the ladybug on top of a comb, on top of a bowl of oatmeal, sitting on a lawyer's desk with a piece of coal next to it and a stamp on the piece of coal and a knife next to the piece of coal, a worm crawling across the knife and crawling across past a bell to reach a piece of lettuce. So that's how you learn to remember. And our brains are much more visual and more storage than our linguistic brain. So when you can learn to associate, there's some people, you've seen them on TV, where they can like remember 100 names. You know, they meet somebody at a audience, they remember names. And what they all talk about is they'll look at that face or the name and put it next to some kind of image. And so that's number one, how to have a visual memory as opposed to an auditory memory. And you'll be able to recall things when you make that association. The next one is they talk about telekinesis. And for people that do dowsing or do pendulums, they use that as an example. So as an example, you can take two or three foot piece of string or dental floss and tie it through the handle of a coffee cup and hold that coffee cup right in front of you. And then with your mind, make that coffee cup sway. So you're holding your arm still, but concentrate on that your mind, and sooner or later the coffee cup will actually begin to sway back and forth. No, you don't really have the telekinesis, but what this experiment does is that your brain will use micro movements of the muscles of your arm and hand to actually make that cup move, sway back and forth. It's the same way that dowsers, you know, there is an electromagnetic energy that dowsers are very sensitive to. And as they're walking looking for water, their brain will register, and then micro movements of their hands make that dowsing instrument move. Or someone that does pendulum, the same thing in their mind. So it's not true telekinesis, even though we've heard that they can, that the people have been doing that. They've never proved it scientifically. The third one is echolocation, and that being blind when I was young, I developed. It's a sense that people that are visually impaired develop. Everyone has that sense, and that is, as an example, bats and how they navigate in the dark, listening to the ultrasonic clicks that they do. There was a documentary of this black child. Oh, I think he was 9, 10, 12 years old. Anyway, he lost his sight, and he would click, and he would be able to ride his bicycle down the street, and by clicking and hearing the echo as it the sound came back, he would know that there's a car there. I had that ability when I was young. I could walk and know that there was a car on the street next to me, or there was a wall. I could know that there would be a wall there before I hit it, and so I was able to navigate because of the echolocation. That's number three. And number four is seeing behind you. Have you ever noticed that people have this, someone comes up behind you and all of a sudden you know someone is standing there? Well, that's a cousin of the echolocation, because it's like called sound shadowing. And you also sense the pressure of the air as someone is walking to you and how that affects your back. Some people are more sensitive than others. And that same echoing sound, the sound changes of what you're hearing behind you. And all of a sudden, as an example, if you stand with your eyes closed on a carpeted surface or a sound-deadening surface such as a sand or anything, and you have a friend sneak up behind you so that you don't hear their footsteps or their breathing or their clothes rustling. And the experiment works because you can feel that pressure or the sound changes of how you are listening of what's coming behind you. So that's number four that the brain is able to do. And number five was really kind of a unique one. And it was the ability to find hidden snakes. And they found that detecting of predatory animals, there's a sensing the presence of snakes that only ovulating women are able to do. And they did a test at the Primate Research Institute in Osaka, and the study in the journal Nature, and they showed that ovulating women can spot snakes or hidden in photographs significantly faster than non-ovulating women and much faster than any male. And they were thinking that that must be some evolutionary trait, because of pregnant women, they don't want to stand, you know, step on a snake that may threaten them. So they found that women, ovulating women, can see things and sense things that are dangerous much quicker than non-ovulating women or or men, for that matter.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
A lot of the research, independent research, has shown that the picolinate type of, whether it's zinc picolinate or chromium picolinate or vanadium picolinate, I don't like those types. I like the substance, whether it's the zinc or B3 or chromium or vanadium. I like polynicotinate. So not the picolinate, I want polynicotinate. That's where it's bound to nicotinic acid, which is a part of vitamin B3. And it's a much more, there's no chromosome damage at all ever been recorded on that type of substance, whether it's, again, chromium or vanadium or zinc or any others. So I would not use any of the picolinate type supplements on the market. I would only use those that are bound to polynicotinate. You don't want to use the zinc oxide either. Zinc oxide is not dangerous, but it's really not very active. That's the kind where you see that white cream that lifeguards put on their nose, or people that go to the beach and they put that on their nose to prevent their nose from burning. That's a zinc oxide. So we don't use that internally. So any of the other forms are probably fine. And again, you need about anywhere from 35 milligrams up to maybe 100, no more than really 100 milligrams of zinc per day, and that can really help quite a bit. So zinc is a very good nutrient, because zinc helps the immune system and it helps your wounds heal faster. So as an example, if you notice that your wounds are not healing very well, then that might be a zinc deficiency.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio, featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph, with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live, on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Chemical Warfare on America. The author is going to be on next week's show, so there are books there, and it really is a comprehensive book. Anybody doing research on food and the food industry and the chemical industry and how they're impacting us, whether it's fluoride or chlorine or any of the negative chemicals, pesticides and herbicides and fungicides, and what it's happening to our immune systems. This book is a great one. So there's still some books available. The next question that is being asked is what kind of supplements would you recommend for quick weight loss? Well, again, there is no, I don't like the idea of a quick weight loss. Okay, I think doing that, one of the best things you can do if you really want a quick weight loss is you do intermittent fasting. And the supplement, there are certain herbs that can speed up your metabolism. One of those is ephedra, but people abuse that. It's not really designed for weight loss, even though it speeds your metabolism up. There has been athletes that have abused that. You normally take one or two capsules per day. And in Texas, there was a number of years ago some athletes that were taking 15 of those supplements per day and doing saunas, and they died. And, of course, they blamed the ephedra. And it was actually taken off the market for quite a long time. It's a Chinese herb, and so that is... But there are Garcinia gambogia, Gymnia sylvestri. These help with sugar metabolism and help the liver and pancreas. There's also a chemical in a lot of different herbs like Oregon grapefruit and golden seal, and that's berberine, and that's a chemical that helps sugar metabolism. And actually, there is a question that is on there for... I just saw it on here about berberine. They were asking what is berberine a good thing to take, and yes, it is. It's again, berberine is a chemical that's been used. Here it is. Yes, it's used for hypertension. It's used for diabetes. It's a chemical that's found. Native Americans have known about the herbs, golden seal, Oregon grapefruit, as an example. There, berberine is in on those herbs, and also berberine has been isolated and is used for sugar metabolism. And it's used for improving insulin sensitivity. It helps can balance out your cholesterol and triglycerides. It can help maintain normal blood pressure. So it's one of those things that really can keep your digestion running smoothly. It's running one of those type of chemicals that are in plants that are very beneficial. These are polyphenols and proanthocyanidins and anthocyanidins, and these are different chemicals that are produced in the plants. So they have powerful effects, and actually berberine is quite good. So anyway, that's, you know, use that for diabetes, hypertension. Those are going to be the most common. And because you're helping your insulin sensitivity, and it can help you with weight loss. But again, the quick weight loss, I really don't like that kind of thing. So there are studies. Yes, there's another question from Joey. And there is a lot of studies on hibiscus. It's a beautiful kind of a pink-red flower. We used to have hibiscus bushes grow in our backyard, but hibiscus has been studied, and it's used to hibiscus tea, especially with a little lemon and honey. It's a great tea that helps to lower high blood pressure. So hibiscus has been studied quite a bit, and it is actually a very good herb to use. It makes a wonderful tasting tea, especially with the lemon in it. So hibiscus can be used quite often. Anyway, let's see, we've only got about 2 minutes left, so I think what I want to do is maybe cover one more article.
Doc, do you have another question?
Another question on Facebook?
No, this was on email.
Okay.
They did ask this question last week, but I know you did answer it.
Again?
But he didn't get to hear it. So he was asking about Jim Humble's MMS protocols.
Okay, Jim Humble's MMS protocols, that's Mineral Miracle Solution. And I don't use that because it's a sodium chlorite formula, which is means that the to release the oxygen, you're also releasing a free molecule of chlorine, and I don't think chlorine is necessary. Now, the MMS can make you feel quite queasy and nauseous and vomiting sometimes, especially if you're not used to it. You have to start with very few drops. Now, I would suggest using hydrogen peroxide, food grade hydrogen peroxide, because that releases hydrogen and water. H2O2 breaks down to H2O and a O1, and that O1 is used very specifically to help clean viruses and pathogens out of the body. The same oxygen is released in the sodium chloride, but you also get the chlorine molecule, and I don't like that. So I do not use that compound at all. I mean, it can be dangerous. The FDA does not like it, and so when you use it, they had to become a church to be able to use it now. I think they, Genesis 2 or whatever the church is called, and that they claim that that's part of their religion, so I think they get around the FDA on that. But I don't like that compound. You can take a drop, put it between your fingers, and go like this, and then smell it, and you will smell the chlorine. And again, another compound used to be called dioxychlor from American Biologic. It's the same thing, and it was used for cancer. And again, I think the hydrogen peroxide, but you have to be careful with the food-grade hydrogen peroxide. That can make you feel queasy and sick, and that actually, there's been some very severe accidents because it looks like water, and they've had that 35% in a glass And there's been children that have taken a big gulp of it, and they will die. That will burn through your esophagus and burn your stomach. And there has been a number of kids that are have died because of it. So it's very dangerous, and you have to be very careful about having high food-grade hydrogen peroxide anywhere. You keep it in the freezer in a plastic baggie because you don't want to touch it. You don't want even any drops on your skin. It will burn your skin. So you have to be careful with that.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back, welcome back. If you can help spread the word, that would really make a help us a lot, and I really would appreciate it. So on your Twitter and social media and your Facebook page and your all the different accounts. So thank you very much. We talk about some of the newest articles and information that's coming out. At as soon as I can, we'll go back to talking about that, because I want to talk about a new a bill trying to be passed. It's called the Natural Remedies Access Act, because of what the FDA is doing about homeopathy and other herbs.
Let me ask you, what is an ideal reading for a high blood pressure for a 75-year-old?
Well, what they have found is that as we get older, the body will compensate for hypertension. And there's two kinds of hypertension. There's a generalized hypertension, like someone that might have 150 over 95. And then there's what's called spiking hypertension, where someone might go up to 210 over 120. Now, the spiking hypertension is very dangerous, so you want to do something to bring that down very quickly. But over the years, there was a number of studies that they found that the artificial of lowering someone past 70 years old, 75 years old, that there was a big study that came out April 2015, and it was the Leisure World Health Study. And that Leisure World is a retirement center just south of Los Angeles. And I knew about that because my parents lived there for a while. But anyway, it's about 30, 35, 40 years old now that retirement. There's over 30,000 people, and they have to be 50 years old or older. Well, about now, it's at least 30 years ago, they enrolled about 20,000 of the senior citizens into a study. And they wanted to find out what makes people live longer. Not necessarily the quality of your life, only the quantity, how long you live. And they found that those that were taking the hypertensive medication for only mild hypertensive, like 140 over 90, 95, did not do as well taking hypertensive medication. Doctors keep wanting you to be lower and lower, and they talk about now 120 over 80, which used to be normal blood pressure. Now they talk about that as being pre-hypertension. Well, everything is pre-hypertension. So, as an example, my blood pressure runs about 133 over 68, and I'm 70 years old. So my blood pressure is quite good, especially for my age. But I would say, as long as your blood pressure is running, say, below 140, 150 over in the 90s, I would use herbs to help bring that down. Cayenne pepper and chili pepper is one of the best herbs in the world to regulate blood pressure. Also the herb ginger. So drinking a ginger tea and first thing in the morning with some lemon in it, or even a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of honey, is a great tea. It's a pick-me-upper, and it'll help to regulate your blood pressure. So depending, the spiking blood pressure, very dangerous. You can have a stroke. And so if your blood pressure is normally, let's say, 115, 118, 120 over 70, 75, and all of a sudden your blood pressure is 150 over 95, which it rarely gets like that, that can be considered a spiking hypertension when your normal hypertension is much lower, or when your normal blood pressure is much lower. So depending, again, most of the drugs don't help as well, but they found that at 75 years or older, the body compensates for blood pressure. Depending upon how much vitamin C and the amino acid L-lysine and CQ10 and essential fatty acids, that controls, and the mineral magnesium, that controls the pliability of the arteries. So as long as you can restore the pliability of the arteries, that's what counts. And if you ever thought you were having a heart attack or a stroke, you would get a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, put it in a glass of water, and drink it down immediately. Now, I've used this in my practice a number of times. I had a my medical director once was a former physician. She's passed away since then. She was my medical director when she was in her 70s, and it
11-11.
Oh, it's 11-11. Everybody, check it out right now. 11-11. This is the time when wishes come true. So at this very moment, take a moment in your mind and make your wish. I know it sounds sometimes childish, but hey, that's the theory, and there's a big movement around the world, 11-11. So it's now 11-12, so it's passed. We go back to continuing about hypertension. So thank you for monitoring that, Adon. So again, there are herbs, ginger, cayenne pepper, hibiscus. These all can help lower hypertension and control hypertension. And again, if it's only a mild hypertension, the Leisure World study showed that those that were not taking the hypertensive medicine actually lived longer than those taking the hypertensive medication. Another thing that study showed was cholesterol, and they found that those with the higher amounts of cholesterol actually lived longer than those artificially trying to lower cholesterol. So they found 250, even 300 cholesterol lived longer than people with 150 cholesterol. So these were some of the things that in this Leisure World study, and it's quite unique. And again, blood pressure is one of those things you have to be careful of, because sometimes what we would consider is okay, not really high, if you normally have low blood pressure and then it spikes to that, it can be a form of spiking hypertension. So that you do need to control. But again, drinking the hibiscus, even a hibiscus ginger tea, taking apple cider vinegar with a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper in it, that can really help. Take that with every meal, and that can help control your hypertension. So I think that answered that question. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Really appreciate it. And we put her back on listen-only mode. How's that? Thank you. And, okay, Adon, I see there's another couple other questions. I mean, a couple of other callers. We don't know, again, are they questions or are they comments or listen-only?
Yeah, so the first area code here that we got is 952. The last four numbers are 5564.
952 area code 5564. If that's you and you have a comment, you are on live. If you're just in listen only mode, you can just call out listen only and we'll put you back on listen only. Is anyone there? Don't be afraid. Thousands of people are listening to you. But don't be worried. Don't be nervous. Okay, they're on listen only mode. They're not talking. Okay, and then there's one more. I see a 915 area code.
Yes, 915. The last four numbers are 4403.
4403, 915 area code. Is this listen only, or do you have a question?
I think that is a listen only there.
I hear people in the background, but I guess it's listen only also. So we'll... okay, we'll put them back on listen only mode. Okay.
Okay, let me see.
Let's see again.
I do have a question here for online. Let me see. It's about H. pylori, and this person says that they had to go through the process two times, and it wasn't successful as far as taking the antibiotics.
And usually the H. pylori is a bacteria in your stomach, and it most people have it, but they never have any symptoms. They don't even show positive on the antibodies, but it's one of those ubiquitous bacteria. But some people you can tell because you'll get heartburn, and it'll cause severe digestive imbalance, and even in the long term, it can cause stomach cancer. So H. pylori, there is a medical program. It's one of the few I recommend because it's only 2 weeks long. You take the antibiotic for 2 weeks, and then you take an antacid and like a Pepcid or Prilosec. And the only thing is they forget to put the good bacteria back in. But if she's done that twice and she's still showing positive to, then they used the wrong antibiotic. Is what they have to do is a different antibiotic. Now, cinnamon is a spice that actually goes after that H. pylori. So the same way you can take with every meal a glass of water that's room temperature, natural water, spring water, and put in a quarter teaspoon to a half a teaspoon of cinnamon and a teaspoon or two of apple cider vinegar, and that can help control any kind of heartburn or can control that H. pylori. Otherwise, do that, tell them that it didn't work, but you would, there's a breath test and a blood test to determine whether you have the H. pylori or not. And so if it's positive, again, cinnamon is one of the best herbs that help that. Nature Sunshine makes a combination called Gastro Health that was designed specifically for H. pylori. And also there's digestive enzymes that you can take that will actually help you digest your food for those that have digestive issues. Nature Sunshine makes a number of them, one called High Lipase that's has all the enzymes but a little bit more lipase for digesting fats. Another one called Proactazyme that's to help digest more proteins, but it has all of the enzymes in it. doTERRA essential oils makes one called Digestin, and that has herbs and essential oils in it for digestion. Peppermint oil is one of the best oils for H. pylori. So anyway, that use the cinnamon on that. That can really help. Okay, and then there was one more. Is coconut water a good way to get hydrated? Yes, it is. You want to get a good organic coconut water with no sugar added. It's very high in potassium, so it's a very good drink to natural hydration. I think it's one of the best, especially coconut water fresh. I remember when I was in Sri Lanka defending my thesis at way back, and I lived there, I would have every morning a fresh coconut. I had I was staying at a bed and breakfast. It was an old a beautiful mansion that was turned into a bed and breakfast, and I would go to the window. I was on the second floor, and they had a little rope with a bucket, and I would lower, and it only cost me a dime. I mean a dime, 10 cents. So I'd lower my dime down, and the young boy was there every morning for me, and he had a fresh coconut, chopped it open, put a straw in it, put it in my little bucket, and I'd raise that up, and every single morning I'd have fresh coconut water right out of the coconut. So I love coconut water. Now, there's a little bit difference, you know, because when you have it in a can or a container, it just depends how old it is. They have to put some type of preservative in it. So you do have to be a little careful for those that are sensitive. But I love coconut water, and coconut water would be actually a great hydration. So it works very quickly to hydrate the body.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Every single study that you have heard anywhere in the world, all of the hearts of long-distance runners have fibrosis. And what fibrosis is an inflammatory condition in the muscles that causes scar tissue, and that scar tissue builds up. And if you ever, if you like running, then may I suggest running in a different way, not at a steady pace. What you would do is run as fast as you can for 30 seconds, and then slow either a jog or a fast walk for a minute to a minute and a half. Then 30 seconds fast, a minute and a half slow. 30 seconds fast and a minute and a half slow. You're alternating that fast, slow, but you're giving your heart time to recover. So think of it. People running cross country now, they're the times are about, what is it, 2 hours and 7 or 8 minutes now that they're doing. We're talking 5 minute miles for or sub 5 minute miles for 26 miles. It's unheard of. Anyway, they're damaging their heart. Now, you can get pictures as an example and put a long distance runner right next to a sprinter, and you're going to notice a big difference. You're going to look at that cross-country runner, and they're going to look like death warmed over. They're thin and skinny, and they really look emaciated. Where when you look at a sprinter, you're going to see a big chest, big arms, big shoulders, big thighs, very strong, because they have to pump. Speed running or sprinting is much healthier than long-distance running. So the first thing I'm going to say for those of you doing cross-country running, stop doing that. It's a very bad type of exercise. And again, if you like running long distances and you want to do that, just run the way I told you, and that's fast, slow, 30 seconds as fast as you can. Now, if you're a really good professional, you can increase that and make it a minute as fast as you can, and then 2 minutes slow recovery, a minute as fast as you can, and 2 minutes slow recovery. Then you're going to actually get a bigger chest, bigger shoulders and arms and thighs, and you're going to actually improve your health, the volume of your lungs, and the strength of your heart. But cross-country running, terrible. Now, the supplements that I would use is, again, any of the strong antioxidants, that would be the most important. I would say vitamin E and the mineral selenium. Those are for your heart. CQ10, that's, again, for the muscles to uptake more oxygen. And so the mitochondria works, where you produce energy. And B complex, because it's involved in energy production on every level. So, you know, those are the standard things, whether you're doing running or exercise or any other kind of exercise, those same nutrients are going to be very important.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.